It's so good to be back, even though it was great to be gone and to listen to various lessons. We did not get to hear all that we videotaped, but I think it was 200 and almost 50 lessons in 8 days that we videotaped. You'll be hearing some of those at different times throughout the next year. You will also be benefiting from many of the lessons that many of us were encouraged by, strengthened by. Last Sunday morning, in particular, Brother Eric Owens, and the lesson, I told him personally from my heart that it was one of the best that I had ever heard and moved even each of us that listened to even more determination than greater before. I put in the bulletin that the sermon title was, Where Are We? What Is Our Vision? And Where Are We Going? That's all encompassing, pretty challenging, and I doubt if we'll be able to adequately answer all of those in this brief time. I'm thankful for each of you that are here. When we talk about where we are physically is one matter, but where we are spiritually is another major, different consideration. Am I a child of God? Have I made the decision to serve Christ? Am I walking uprightly in the light, as John says in 1 John 1:7? Have I set my affections on things above? You see, where are we in our journey here in this life? James tells us in James 4 that life here on earth is a vapor. Many of us have experienced that in weeks past. A dear friend of mine was laid in the ground yesterday, struggling for the last several weeks. Gave up his spirit, body separating from the spirit, and he died. We're all terminal. We're all facing that at one time, sooner or later, if the Lord does not come again first. So where are we? In preparation for polishing the pulpit, Heather and Dawn especially kind of took inventory of the things that we were going to take, then what we brought back, etc. Using that as somewhat of a crude illustration, can I challenge you to take inventory? Because there are some people that I'm afraid in this world who believe that they're right in the sight of God, living acceptably, ready to die and stand before God in judgment, but in actuality, they may not be. The Apostle Paul, in the earlier stages of his life, before Acts 9, for an example, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. He said of himself later on, I had lived in all good conscience. He thought he was right. He thought he was right in God's sight. He was pleasing God, serving God, doing what he was doing. But what he was doing was persecuting Christians, those who followed Christ, obedient to Christ, even killing them, responsible for it, or putting them in jail. Oh, he learned different and changed immediately and served Christ as best we're able to tell by this great New Testament, 13 or 14 books Paul wrote himself of the New Testament. Can I be crude in saying Paul thought he was right, he took inventory and learned he wasn't? But Paul, in his wisdom, his intelligence, assessed the facts, determined he needed to change, and he did, and served Christ from that point further. Not only where we are, but what is our vision? And again, I'm going to just ever so briefly utter these words and then somewhat summarize that question. What is your vision for yourself? I hope that it's not, okay, Paul, I'm really satisfied with status quo. It's all right. I've already become a Christian. I'm now in the church, and then that's enough, and that's all I've got to do. That really is not enough. I'm glad that you made progress, but that's just beginning points. I know that many of you that are sitting in this room right now have been children of God for a long time. You obeyed the gospel in years and decades past. And I know that many of you have grown. You began as a baby, 1 Peter 2:2. That's what he says. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You've grown. But are you still growing? I know that many of you had talents. Maybe you weren't using in the years past. Now you are. You've grown in talents. Are you still growing? I know that many of you are trying to help your family and friends know about Jesus and the fact that He and He only is the Savior of the world. But are you doing that in every way possible? I'm not trying to rain on our parade, so to speak. I'm not trying to douse us with a dose of old gloom and despair. I'm just merely saying we need to periodically look at ourselves. Paul told the Corinthian brethren, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. We need to look and examine ourselves and maybe answer these questions. Am I doing everything I can? Am I studying as deeply and passionately as I should be? Am I growing in knowledge? Am I growing my talents? Am I helping save souls? Am I edifying others around me? Am I helping the less fortunate? These are key questions. What's my goal? If today, I mean, here we are at August 24th. If God gives us enough time to see August 24th, 2026, will we look different? Will we have grown more, developed more, serving more, working more? And that really is not a question that others can answer for me. I have to answer my own. I cannot answer for you. But in light of the words of Christ, for an example, in Matthew chapter 6, He said, lay up treasures in heaven. Paul's words in Colossians 3, set your affections on things above. The Hebrews writer's word in Hebrews 6 and verse 1, let us go on toward perfection. The word perfection in the King James Version most times does not mean, it's not even talking about the idea of being perfect and sinless and not making mistakes as we sometimes think of the word perfection. What it means is mature. Go on toward maturity. Be complete. Don't be partially, half-hearted, or mediocre. Now answer the question. Are we doing that? Or as I started out by saying, are we just kind of satisfied? Mediocre? Just doing enough to get along? Kind of soothe our conscience? In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, God in His address to the seven churches of Asia, to the Laodiceans, He said, because you're lukewarm, you make me sick. Well, that's a revolting, horrible assessment, is it? For us to make God sick and He went on to say, because you're not hot, you're not cold, you're just lukewarm, you're mediocre. from that we learn our Father is not pleased with just being half-hearted. What's our vision? I'm not a person of wisdom so much. I've learned from a lot of others. But from others, I've learned, made a statement one time that I remember some years ago, that unless you set goals, you're likely not to make them, reach them, accomplish them. Brilliant statement, huh? What goals do you have? Practical. In our Bible class in the last hour, we read 2 Timothy 2:15, where it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing. Are you studying more? With the passing of days and weeks and even years, are we drawing closer to God? Driving down this morning by myself, I flipped a couple of radio stations, and right in the middle of a song, one of the stations, it was a religious song, but I love the words, the longer I serve him, the sweeter it goes. Is that true? The more I read, the more I study and grow in this book, it gets sweeter. The more I work in the service of the King, does it get better? And maybe my vision, my goal in life needs to be that of more and more. I want to learn more. I want to draw nearer to God, know more about Him. I want to serve more. I want to be involved in various works more. Is that my vision? If I don't establish a goal, I have no target. I'm just kind of blindly closing my eyes and grappling about for nothing. And don't set your goals so low that you could drop, kick a football and reach it. Set your goals pretty challenging. I'm going to read the Bible every day. I'm going to read so many chapters a day. I'm going to read maybe a book a day, whatever it may be, to have something. Maybe you can check off at the end of the day. I did it today. Going to do it again tomorrow. That's my goal. Or let me get real. My goal of being, I want to talk to someone each day about Jesus. Maybe just minor. It may be just having a little old track or something saying, can I give you this? It tells you about my Jesus. He means a lot to me. See, you can do that. I can do that. It may be an invitation to come and worship here at Cedar Grove or let people know about us and our desire of longing to do just what the Bible says, live according to the precepts and the teaching of the Bible. We want to do things according to what's authorized in our worship, et cetera, et cetera. On and on we could go. And we just hand that to somebody. Or if you want to start at even maybe a little bit lesser confrontational level, next time you pay your electric bill or whatever, put a track inside that envelope. Send it to some. They may throw it away or they may read it. You never know. I don't want ever to stand or sit here and make it look I'm talking about Paul. It's not about me, it's about my Lord. But a dear brother from over in Mississippi walked up to me this past week. Brother, I've got something I want to tell you. That was about the tone. I thought, okay, what am I going to hear now? I'm telling you, I've got something I need to say to you. I've never told you before. Been going on for 17 years. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but not much. Joyce and Richard were close by. Randy and Barbie were over here beside. My girls back behind me. God has got our attention pretty much. He proceeded to tell me that I had changed his life, saved his job 17 years ago. I didn't know that. He opened up his Bible, and back in the back, he had taken that little ready reference for growing Christian and taped it, duct taped it in his Bible. He said the little church that we've been going over in Mississippi didn't have a preacher, and they asked me to be. I didn't have a clue what a preacher did, didn't know a sermon, didn't have nothing, hadn't been to school. He said, your little book, he said, one Sunday I preach this one, turn the page for the next Sunday. What's my point? Not about what Paul did. It's what you can do. That man took a silver dollar and flopped it down on that desk and said, I've carried this silver dollar for years. I want you to have it. And every time you see it, I want you to know that you're doing some good. Folks, you can impact lives by just handing a piece of paper to them. You can impact the life of someone that maybe is discouraged and writing a note saying, I'm praying for you, I think about you, I love you. You can help some along the way of life, and Satan's battered them and literally bombarded them, and they're discouraged and about ready to quit everything. And maybe your precious words, you'd say, I don't know what to say. I'm just fumbling around. I don't care. Say something. Make your goals, your vision of what God want you to be. You see, God's not finished with us. We're still here. I mean, we're still in the maturing, growing, and developing stage. We're still drawing ourselves nearer to God, but we need to have somewhat of a plotting course laid out for us. Go here and do that and this and so forth to be able to improve and do more. Simon Peter would say it this way in 2 Peter chapter 1, add to your faith virtue, knowledge, patience, brotherly kindness, charity, your faith. You believe in God already. Wonderful. Great start, but it's just a start. I start adding those attributes of my Savior. Philippians 2:5 says, have the mind of Christ. Let it be in you. Whatever Christ would do, it's what I want to do. Well, look at the life of Christ as we flip through the pages of this great book and how he served others and walked with others and taught others and sometimes sinners. Sometimes beaten down. Not ready to quit life. And we may be, you've heard it before, the only Bible they may read, your life. They may be the only kind words that they hear. The only people that says, you cared about me. Can I summarize that paragraph of thought by saying, dear folks, it's not enough to come sit in this auditorium once a week or even every time the doors open. We must let our light shine, our life shine as a representation of Christ. We must indeed serve him with our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. Luke 10:27. We've got to set our affections on things above. That's our home. That's our goal. Our citizenship is not here. Paul would tell us in Colossians 3, our citizenship is in heaven. We're just traveling through here forever so briefly. Simon Peter said it this way in 1 Peter 2, we are here, pilgrims and sojourners. Just traveling through. not our home. But I cannot give just minimal, half-hearted service. That's not what Jesus says. The words of Jesus are found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all of these things shall..." In other words, you've got to give him your heart and your soul. Paul would say it this way to the Ephesian brethren, Christ, who is our life. Is that true of you? Or, if we were to be accurate in our assessment of ourselves, is Christ just our life on Sunday morning? I'm not trying to beat us up. I'm not trying to stomp on our toes. I'm trying to help us to take inventory, to see where we are, what our vision is, and where we're going. In Hebrews chapter 11, this marvelous book, you've heard me refer to it countless times. By faith Noah, by faith Moses, by faith Abraham. I mean, literally every verse or two, someone else has mentioned. Then down toward the end of the chapter, verse 34, 5, and 6, he says, if I had more time, I'd talk about Jephthah and Samson and all of so many others. The books are written here not in chapters and verses. God didn't do that. But we, in order to find the location and read together and think, man did that. But that's okay. But right after chapter 11, by faith and all these men and women mentioned, in chapter 12, the inspired writer said, seeing that we are surrounded by all of these witnesses. What would Noah say if he testified? What would Moses say? What would Abraham say? You see, witnesses testifying, declaring what they had learned, what they had done, how God had been with them, helped them, and he's helping us. Chapter 12, verse 1 again. Seeing that we're surrounded with all these cloud of witnesses, the writer says, let us run the race that is set before us, putting aside the sin that easily besets us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. No matter how many times we've read that over and over, it should cause us to stop instantly, look at ourselves, take inventory, and ask, am I running that race as I should? Have I laid aside the sin that easily besets me? Am I keeping my eyes, verse 2, on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith? Where am I? What's my goal? Where am I going? I didn't put it in the bulletin, but I could add, all right, I'm developing that goal. And where am I going? I could ask also, how am I going to get there? You will not get to a better place, a greater service, more complete life, if you just walk out this building after a few minutes and say, well, that was okay, and forget it. You won't walk, you won't get there, you won't get to that better place if you says, well, I guess I agree with most things what Paul said this morning, but a few of them I'm not sure about. Won't get there. But if you will take this loving, pleading challenge of let's go deeper, Let's do a little bit better. Let's draw closer to God, and only I can do that. And I know it may be out of my comfort zone a little bit, but I can't talk to people about Christ and their soul in one way or another. And then we reach the decision. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Best I can. I don't know all the things that went through the Apostle Paul's life when he learned the truth and changed from what he had been to what he became. But I can read later on when he was writing to the Philippi church when he said, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Or when that same man wrote to the Corinthian church, and he said, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to do that which he's committed. Or I could read what he wrote to the Roman Christians in chapter 1, verse 14, 15, 16. I am debtor, Paul said, and I'm ready, and I'm not ashamed. If we put together the compilation of those powerful, bold declarations and kind of make it our own, we will have assessed where we are, we will establish some goals, and we're going to get there because we've developed that way and that path. Pray with me, please. Holy Father, we love you so much. We praise you. We're so thankful to be assembled together with fellow Christians. We pray that our thoughts today have challenged us just a little, and that we can begin even more the commitment of faithfulness and steadfastness, and being a faithful servant in your sight. Father, we recognize our weaknesses at times. We fall short. We're thankful for your forgiveness when we repent and change. Help us to do that. We want so much to be together with our family members and friends that have gone on before us. We look forward to that wonderful homecoming. Help us to so live as to make that a reality. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a Christian, please consider believing with all of your heart, turning from sin, confessing Christ, and being baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. If you are a child of God, but you've allowed Satan to tempt you and you've fallen away, God says you can come home. And we're going to be standing here in just a moment, but I want you to know, again, as I've said before, you're not coming to me. I'm just a servant. You're coming to Jesus who says, come and I'll give you rest. Won't you do that? Even as we stand and sing.